Just like several people here are not married, I don't have kids. It doesn't change the fact that you are learning this for yourself, but also for others. In Matthew's Gospel 1, there's a vital thing about Joseph that I saw. I want to share with us. We're talking about discretion. You know, when I mentioned how you should not live a showbiz life, everything is in the public. You know, like some of us are just Facebook mad. We're just Facebook crazy. You know, and social media, it prevents the truth. You live a lie. You see people, you know, even as a pastor, I've seen people take people's teachings, repackage it, come and lie. I've seen so many people do it. It is so distasteful. Some will lie about their experience in ministry. And the thing is this. If you will know, it's a probability. The person is playing on a probability that, well, some people will know, but majority will not know. And the lie can go on for a long time. So, don't go and build your life on a terrain where lies thrive. It's important. Where lies thrive. You don't have to write a long poem on social media for your wife or your husband. That's not love. And then there's no food in the house. You know, what was the point? You get it. There was a couple like that I saw that I canceled with. You know, on the husband's birthday, the wife wrote a long poem and just lied. Because they were not on talking terms. And they are still not on talking terms. Everybody was liking it. Oh, God bless your home. Go, okay. You know, it's all fake. Because you can't build something on nothing. So everything was a lie. Both you that commented, you were all lying. Praise God. Be careful about the media. Brother Hagin warned ministers about the media. And I've said it to you. If the media makes you, it will not make you. Most of these artists who happen in their marriage is the media they put inside. If you investigate well, what caused the wahala should have been things that have been resolved. But because they were used to the media will know how they use the restroom, the media will know how they do everything. Which year did I have the news magazine want to interview? 2006. When there was a miracle in Oshoji. They were looking for the pastor of the church. And I said I didn't want an interview. So just come and they said that these miracles happen a lot in your ministry. I mean, Oshoji was taking, Tell and one other one evening newspaper like this, then Tell. I refused it. My name was in the magazine. She said, I want to ask you. I said, no. Brother Hagin taught us not to do that. Not just Brother Hagin, Jesus did. So don't tell the world. I said, no. That's 10 years ago. I said, no. We said we're never going to build our ministry on miracles. So it's not just about marriage. Don't build your life on the media. All those things, the reason why they couldn't solve the problem was they had put it in the media. You had lived your life in the media. There was someone I told. I said, you went on Facebook to put your wedding there to talk about. I said, if you didn't put it there, would it have happened? He said yes. So why did you put it there for? What would it change? You went on honeymoon. Would the honeymoon be annulled if you didn't put it on social media? What are you trying to achieve? You are putting your life outside. Jesus said, let your left hand not know what your right hand is. Rabbi? Exactly. Learn discretion. If you make money, must you tell the world? If you tell the world, does it increase the money? In fact, it will decrease the money. Praise God. Just like pregnancy. Someone told a lady, my friend, I didn't know you were pregnant. How would you have known? Is there a pregnometer? Mind your business. Praise God. Shishko. Anyway, look at something that he did. Now, in verse 18, Matthew's Gospel 1, the birth of Jesus was on this wise. His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Now, the word espoused is the same word used for courtship. It's a Greek word, Mnestio, M-N-E-S-T-E-U-O. It means to be asked in marriage. That means, pay attention. He asked her in marriage. Now, this obviously was done in an accountable fashion. Everybody knew. Okay? That is, he asked her. The word espouse is something you ask that is known. So he asked her in marriage, what you can call courtship. Okay? You see it in Luke 1:27 as well. Just quickly see that, right? Luke 1:27. Okay? And Luke 2:5. You know, as about the time that Jesus, pay attention to what I'm going to say. As about the time that Mary had Jesus, in Luke 2, when they went to have Jesus as a child, they were still not married. Look at it. Luke 2:5. I know this will burst the bubble of many people, but then it's not a problem. Luke 2. Joseph also went up out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife. Can you see? Being great with child. Someone he was courting. Because if the marriage had been consummated, he would use the word espoused again. And she was heavy and great with a child. So there was a public knowledge of it. In other words, that was public. But look at what he now did. When he found out she was pregnant, he being a just man, verse 19, Matthew 1, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. That means he handled it in discretion. There is a discretion to things. He proposed. What I saw about that, the word proposed, shows a fellow who was not emotionally driven. And that is very vital. You must have emotional stability as a man. If Joseph did not have emotional stability, it would have caused a problem. A man must have emotional stability. He was able to handle the thing well. Now, he had a vision. To know he was a very smart person. In verse 20, he had a vision. An angel spoke to him. Again, in verse 13, an angel spoke to him. Then, in verse 20 again. Chapter 2, verse 13. An angel spoke to him. Chapter 2 again. Verse 19 to 21. 20 to 20. An angel spoke with him. So he was quite a matured person. Mature. Very mature fellow. Very good fellow. Very emotionally stable character. And that's important. Don't be careful, women. Don't get involved with a man that likes showbiz, you know, doing things for the world to see. He was able to manage that situation. Because it was a crisis. It was a crisis. He managed it very well. Took her around. Didn't have any issues with it. And had kids by her as well. And took responsibility as the father of Jesus. He took that responsibility. That's a level of emotional stability. It's important for men. So, you must watch emotional stability from pre-marital stages. Of course, he displayed that stability by not having sex with her. Then that was not just it. The way he handled it, let's be very frank. You know, even at the fact that an angel spoke with him, he still handled it well. You can say, whatever. You understand? You can even say that I don't believe it was God. in the, you know, you can say those things, but he handled it very, very much. And that was a level of emotional stability. And men should have that. Should have that. Know how to handle crisis. Praise God. And do you know something? And this is why I was talking about culture. Let me just add this. Do you know that, well, Bible history, which is not far-fetched, let us know that Mary was a teenager. It was said she was between 13 and 14. Because that was a marriageable age. Men used to marry about 17, 18, 19. Because they were going through trainings and all that. Women were just get married. So imagine, 13, 14. The minute the woman can have a menstrual cycle, and she said, she's able to marry. So that's why I said, be careful not to follow a pattern that is actually cultural. You can't try that today. They say at 13, 14. You say, what's the that? Say, I just want to come and ask your child in marriage. See, what kind of marriage? No, maybe it's drama. You want to do a drama, then it can't be a real marriage. You understand? So, that's why I say we should look away from culture. And don't try to replicate the culture. Whether it's Ruth and Boaz, don't say, I've not found my Boaz. May God not make you mind meet anybody called Boaz. So there's culture. There was education and, you know, stuff like that. Are you seeing what I'm saying? There was a discretion. You'll have posted it. Strange things are happening. What's on your mind? So you have to put it there. You say, what's on your mind? You put it there. Strange things are happening. You just begin to rap. A man can love a woman with all his heart. And she turns into an art under the earth. Life can be full of challenges. What's going on? What's going on? Inbox me, what's going on? Just say, yeah. Don't tell anybody, oh. I'm Mary, oh. What happened, Sherry? She don't chop, oh. Chop it. She's not pregnant. Don't tell anybody, oh. Sha, no, I won't. I'm just being around. Are you head? Sha, she not tell anybody. That's evangelism they have. Everybody just do outreach. But you know that he kept it in his heart. He was smart. He had a level of emotional stability that is important. And I believe that it had to do with how they conducted that relationship. There's something we should do in parental relationship. We should help one another develop emotional stability. If you don't need it now, when you are married, you will need it. It will train you very well when you are married. So quickly, let me just talk about a few things and we'll just wrap up finally. What about post-marital? Because pre-marital, we just dealt with, like I said, pre-marital, we have a teaching, 10 questions. 10 questions you must ask before you enter a... How many of you have listened to it before? 10 questions that you must ask. Okay, so if you listen to 10 questions, for example, I've told you, don't waste your time praying when you are looking at the word of God like this. Yeah, the more you are praying, you are confusing yourself the most. If you marry a rebel in church, he or she will be a rebel in the marriage. That's the truth. If you like, say no. I know her better than anybody. You really know her better than anybody. We have heard you. Or I know him. He's a good person. You just don't know. We all don't know. We all don't know. All of us. You all don't know. I know him very well. Don't worry. You will know him very, very well. In a very manifestation, you see phenerosis and apocalypse. What about post-marital? I know earlier on I've spoken about widows. Now, Paul tells widows to remarry. It's not a commandment. 1 Timothy chapter 5. In verse 11. But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. Now, why did he say this? You know, don't get him out of context. He was talking about support for the widows. He said, when a woman is not 60, do not take her in for support. If she's younger than that, look, they once wax wanton against Christ, they will still marry. Having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. So he's talking about some younger people that they don't, widowhood is not an opportunity to just be a layabout. Not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not to. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So he says the woman who is a widow, you know, these are 10 tendencies that they can have. So he said, well, they should marry. He's not saying compulsorily they have to. You know. So it brings something to the fore that we must also manage post-marital relationships, which the first set of people will be widows. He said they can remarry, but they can also abide. In 1 Corinthians 7, he actually says that, well, if you are unmarried, he says you can abide as I am. 1 Corinthians 7, 27 and 28. And if you want to marry, say there's nothing wrong with it. So it's your choice. So that is those who are with. No! There's an area we have not taught well. And I'll just go through it. I won't major on it because the Bible does not. But I would highlight it for you. Is divorce possible? Yes. Very, very possible. It's very, very possible. Now, where we have instances of a couple where there is violence, husband beats the wife. Sometimes the wife beats the husband though. Mm-hmm. Now, as a pastor, I'll rebuke the man as much as I can. If I see a belligerent attitude that he wants to continue, I will advise the woman to leave the house. Because Jesus said that when you hear your persecutor coming, you should run. You cannot live in the house with a persecutor and be praying. Pray away. Praise God. You pray, you don't pray with your persecutor watching you. I think you should pray when the persecutor is not there. So, you stay so that you can leave to receive the answers to your prayers. So at that point, I would cancel, just leave the house. Because violence is not something that can be tolerated in any way. Apart from the fact it's not biblical, it's also criminal. That's one. However, there are other instances, you know, that can situate. 1 Corinthians 7. Paul now says in verse 15, you read, because the person an unbeliever do not depart. In verse 15, he now says, but if the unbelieving departs, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such, but God has called us to peace. I've heard people say that when she marry, am I forever? Some churches say that's their business. He says he's not under bondage. Let the person depart. So you are not under any obligation afterwards. Now, this is open to so many. Someone said, well, is he saying you should remarry? He actually said, if you are loose, look at it. If you are, verse 27, are thou bound unto a wife, seek not to be loose. Are thou loose from a wife, seek not a wife. But if you shall marry, you have not sinned. Praise God. Are you there? Do you understand that? So if the man or the woman should depart, can the man remarry or the woman? Obviously. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, do not forget. Don't let this be the major thing you remember. Oh. We have said it very clearly that you must not seek to what? You mustn't seek it. But if you are loosed, say you should abide. But if you can't, Paul says, remarry, you have not sinned. So there are cases. I've seen a case like that where the you have a question. Where the man in the, and this was is not someone that told me. If I'll tell you to, where the man or they are unbelievers anyway. So in those cases, both are unbelievers, and the man took the child for rituals. Now you cannot say a woman like that should remain. That means the man does not want to remain. Yes, that for me, I would have that with the unbeliever has left. I mean, that's a ritual killer. There are two options. Someone said, well, there are two options. I report him to the police, so they take him to where ritual killers go. that means he has departed. So that's very good enough. Or, I know the story. I had another one that the woman put poison in a man's food. You can't say you should abide. Abide. What would the love of God do? The love of God will leave. Praise God. So, there are instances like that, that they happen. They happen. So, never, and let me say this, never judge single parents. Whether women, don't use your African culture to judge women. No. There are instances where they are just unfortunate cases. So told me, didn't you pray about it? If you prayed about it, there will be no issues. Did Jesus not choose Judas? I'm asking. Do you know that he didn't have to be a disciple that will fulfill that thing? There were 70. There were women. There were others. He didn't have to be one of the 12. But Judas chose to fulfill the one that would betray the Lord. He didn't have to be. Acts 20:28. Paul says, take it to the flock that the Holy Ghost has what? Holy Ghost has made them overseers. So, yes, it's after my departure that some from among you, those that the Holy Ghost chose, will still lead people away. So, you cannot determine everything that somebody will do. A man who is a pastor, like I am, can backslide, yes or no? He can go into, if you were Solomon's first wife, would you know you would go into, have 999 more? Would you know he will worship idols? A man who says, I have a heart, I want to serve. Give me wisdom. I now go to, if I look once or die. You won't know that. So you cannot judge people. Don't judge people. There are several reasons why people are single. There's several, and you know, we have this African culture. Somebody is not married. He's not fulfilled. You have not settled down. Down where? Who was up before? You have not, they'll ask every question. Hey, why? Why? So come out for deliverance. You have a question? Yeah. So she has to be married. Hey, well, it depends. Sometimes she's blessed. I've seen people who have and they marry men that should have been their first husband. Say, and they take care of it. It depends. It's their choice. You see, marriage is always your choice. And that's what I taught in 10 questions. It will always be your choice. You know, there's no spiritual thing about it. You are the one that will determine exactly what you want. And don't let anybody fool you about television marriage and don't let pastors lie to you. Mama? How is it, Mama? Look. Some of them are tailored for television to raise partners. I'm telling you. That they will leave TV and they look and they go, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? Are you okay? She says, praise the Lord. I'm telling you. How can you see Lola and call her mama? Know what a mama is. So don't judge single people. It's wrong. You get it? It's wrong. People have a choice. Marriage is a choice God bestowed on people. That's why it's a natural. Unbelievers get married, believers get married. It's not a spiritual sign. It's not a sign. And unbelievers even have good marriages. Right? In the context of good marriages, but they are not godly. They are not in Christ. It doesn't glorify Jesus. And they are good marriages. Praise God. So, where a divorce happens, which I said, a divorce simply means one of the parties has gone. It cannot abide. What do we do? Paul says, well, stay. But if you can't, he says, if you marry, you have not sinned. Remember, someone said, how many times can someone divorce? I don't know. But I think it's not good. If something is not proper, I think you should not have it so many times. You know, there was a woman in the Bible, Jesus said that you have had five husbands. Five. He didn't say you have had five men. Husbands. To know that it's not a figure of speech. He said the man you are with is not your husband. Five. That means she was married that many times. Five. Jesus recognized all the five marriages. All. So the one there, he said he's not your husband. Not because of anything, but because they were not married. So, who determines who is married? You. Praise God. But I don't think it's a testimony, sir. Just knew that thank God for my life. This is my sixth marriage. Who will just say, thank God for your life, boo. So we can have single mom. We don't know what happened to Timothy's mom. Obviously, he had a dad that was recognized and is the grandmom and all that. But we have single people in scripture. The elect lady we just mentioned, maybe she was a divorcee. We don't know. Maybe she was a widow. We're not sure. We have people like Anna, who was a widow. Luke's gospel too. If she was in today's church, she'll have drank oil, but there are book of coconut on her head. Luke's gospel too. Verse 36, there was one Anna, a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of 84 years. That's 84. She didn't marry for that long. She was divided up from the temple, served God with fastings and prayers night and day. A woman. In today's age, you married, how many years did you marry and your husband died? Generational intrusion. That's a pharaohic, embryonic manifestation. She'll have taken coconut, banana, oil, mantle, feet washing, covenant day or something. She'll have been going around churches where she served the Lord. Praise God. She was a prophetess. Actually, the only one mentioned in the four Gospels, such. So, single people can live their lives well without pressures from us. You know, they can serve the Lord. We don't have to put them under, we don't have to pray for them. Don't say, what's happening? Hey, I'll be praying with you. Who asked you? Did she tell you she's a problem? So, how many children? I said, well, we don't have children yet. How many years am I? 3 years. I'll be praying with you. Did she ask you? You know, they're just on mindset. Did she ask you? Praise the Lord. Did she ask you? Where people under pressure. Saying this. It's not prayer. It's going to tell somebody. We have to pray for so and so. You know, it's very nice once more. We must pray for so and so. You know, we have to pray. And some people have been prophetic things. Okay. The Lord is saying, man of God, some things you are not doing. He's saying there's a seed you have not sown. You're a doctor. In maternity ward, why do people give birth to children? Is it seed? Cats, dogs, they don't sow seed. They sow it to the right place. They sow the right seed. They have children. Nobody does deliverance for pigs. Rubbish. Amen. Where are we? Anna, we have Dorcas. Dorcas. Is it Dorcas here? We have many Dorcases. Acts 9, Dorcas, a woman of good works, verse 36, house, which she did. Acts 9, she passed on actually, and she was raised from the dead. And because of that miracle, many more people know. A woman, a certain disciple, known for good works. Do you know she was not called the wife of somebody? And that's important. We have Romans 16, Phoebe. You don't have to, people's lives do not have to be determined by marital status. Romans 16, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is a changer. This is Phoebe, our sister, but more importantly, the wife of our brother, John Paul. She's our sister, a servant. Receive her in the Lord as becoming saints. She is our sister in whatsoever business she had need of you. Many historians say that people like this obviously were unmarried. And that was why they were very useful in the work of the ministry. I go silent on that. We also have Junia. Junia, Romans 16:7, called a fellow prisoner who was of note for among the apostles who were in Christ before me. That is, she was also an apostle. Junia. So, it's an opportunity to get busy. Praise God. To get busy. I mean, God's called people to ministry. People have found themselves as single parents or they're not married. They get themselves busy in the work of the gospel. If you don't know what purpose is for, I told you singleness should be an opportunity for you to serve the Lord the more. That's what Paul taught. Opportunity for you to express yourself, serve the Lord more. It's not an opportunity to start learning some stupid things like masturbation and rubbish that people do all over the place. No, learn to serve the Lord. Learn not to now begin to explore kind of nonsense that people do. Begin to buy sex toys and all kind of rubbish that people do. Nope. It's an opportunity to serve the Lord. Devote yourself for the work of the ministry. Praise the Lord. Never let the world determine what you do. Alright, so I said, get busy. You know, get busy. If you are single, either by the virtue of divorce or widowhood, or you still have an unmarried status, be single. But there's something that you must watch very well. You must look at the subject of sex. Sex is inborn. You know, it's just in mankind. You must ask yourself, can I abide without it? Paul says it's better to marry than to burn. So you must ask yourself, if it's something you cannot control, then the Bible says it's better you marry. So you don't, I mean, people say they are not getting get married and then they begin to have illicit affairs all over town. They're not married and then they begin to use all sort of all these worldly things. So, no, that's horrible. That's horrible. That shouldn't be. If you stay single as a widow, you know, or as a divorcee, as a single person, do it. Make sure you dedicate that singleness to the Lord and not to fleshly habits. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So in closing, which I'm doing now, I mean, what we have learned so far is to practice Christianity in premarital, postmarital, and marital relationships. They are not to be divorced from Christianity. Your Christian life can be well demonstrated in all your relationships. Now, somebody asked, what about in-laws? I believe somehow I handled that yesterday. We don't have instructions about in-laws, but we found out in Paul, Barnabas as well, that you can have a cordial relationship. They all had cordial relationships with their in-laws, instead of those who, by the virtue of marriage, they are related to and all that. So, that's a given. We should practice the faith in our marriages. Like I recommend again the teaching, the new creation and its relationships, don't forget. 10 questions. For those who are unmarried, 10 questions you must answer before somebody asks you to marry him or her. 10 questions. The new Christian relationships and this particular teaching. And above all, as a believer, feed on God's word. Your feeding on God's word will also be beneficial to your marriage, premaritally, your marriage, postmaritally, if anything goes wrong, it happens. Either by widowhood, by divorce, or you just are not married. Life will not blow because you are not married. So, in all the 3 instances, your life as a child of God is still demanded for living. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, any questions as we close? Yes, what is that? You're welcome.
From 1 Corinthians chapter 15, about 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15, about the unbeliever departing. Because I have a personal, situation where this actually broke a marriage. Now, both of them, they were having personal problems in respect, in sex. So the wife now went to a church after they had prayed. And because I was always having these clashes, and the people there now said that they can divorce, that if the unbelieving one departs, let them depart. In fact, that was the first time I actually knew this, heard the scripture. And I went, initially I found it in the Old Testament before I finally found it here. But the issue is that they were both Christians. So my question is, what if someone is in a situation where, as somebody has raised it, the faith is different. What you are hearing from one church, the woman goes to another.
It's not
church.
A basis. I think I said that earlier. It's not a basis. The believing and not believing is not even a basis for divorce. I think that's clear. Yep. It's when the person leaves. If somebody leaves, there's nothing you can do. See, marriage is not for life. It's not a life sentence. If the person leaves, there's nothing you can do. It took someone, you know, I was counseling a woman 22 years. No, 2015, 14, 22 years after the man had gone. She's still hoping for him to come. The man had remarried. He had had children. I said, who was teaching you all this? He has departed. You know, that's where I departed. He has deserted. No, that one, he has disappeared. What were you waiting for? Because they had taught her in our church that once you are married to somebody, you can never be married to another person. Except the person is dead. Yet, they don't believe that salvation is forever. They are tired. So, in that context, you can't depart based on faith. I think we have established that. You can't even depart based on faith. You can't depart based on doctrinal difference. But when the person leaves, he has left. That means you are now single. Tell yourself the truth. I am now single. Don't say that to yourself. I didn't say you should say it. I just say whoever it is. In life, you should learn to face reality. The reality here, he has gone. So you will not face the reality until he remarries. You remarry, you are still praying. Then they have children, you are still praying. You want to go and destroy somebody else's home in the air. A new home has been built. Simpliciter. Have I answered you? So I think they didn't teach them right. No pastor, except extreme cases, should be at the back of a divorce. You will do everything to make sure nothing goes wrong. Is when now there's nothing we can do. For example, I've done a case before. Both Christians with an in-law intrusion, and the woman and the man, they divorced. When I got to know they had divorced, an old friend that had in the 90s. So she now called me. I said, well, do you believe we can put this thing back together? She said, yes, let's work at it. I now taught her some things. She went to all these dominion churches. I said, you can't use dominion now. You use love and all that. And it took a while. They are back together. They live in Ghana. They are back together. They've had one more child. You know, and I see them on Facebook doing loving poses. Of course, she wrote a tribute and thanked me for it and all that. But very possible. That's one, in those days, one out of 12 cases. The other 11, and they're all Christians. I didn't succeed. I didn't. I did my best. That look, you know what we can do? He said, no! No! He's a bastard. He said this, you know, some things that you say, how can it, this thing just will come out, it's not from their spirit anyway, but it will come out from somewhere. You know, where did you hide this all along? It will just come out, and all that. So a pastor should never, you should, even if the thing is in court, work at it. Pray about it. Not just a pastor, a Christian. You must never be at the back of it. But if one now says he wants to depart, there's nothing you can do. Do you understand? Have I cleared that? Good. Yes, any more? I'll just take four more because we are going to close by one, Max. So thank you. Yes.
Thank you, sir. So you said something.
I said many things.
My question is, I'm touching the single. You say it's an opportunity for them to serve God. So my question is that, will there be a greater reward for them who are single than those who...
No. There's no greater reward. There's no reward for, oh, you are single, welcome that faithful and blessed man. There's no reward. Paul just pointed a normal thing. If you're just your life, it's easy to manage, but you have somebody else's life in your own. You have to take care of the person. Do you understand? That's what you are. Written questions? I'm used to this. Is there any particular, if you're married, 10 questions? Get 10 questions. For you to ask this thing, you are not ready. Contraceptives in marriage. Just go to school now. Can't you say I have 2 children? Do I look like Jacob? How do you understand a relationship friend that seems to be headed towards marriage, hopefully, but the other party is not properly taught God's word? Why? What are you people looking? You always do with somebody that is not taught God's word. Should I make an example by force? Necessarily. If you rebel, or please put prayer to become a member of this community. 10 questions. If you are single, go and get 10 questions. He keeps beating his wife. Take her away. Olenye. Don't touch your wife. If the demon is strong on you, run. Let the power make you run fast. Don't touch your wife. Oh. Now, women, I didn't say that so that your tongue will be the, like the pen of a ready writer. 2 edged swords. Pierce to divide your center. Well, this question on parents and children, I didn't handle you as a child, your parent. I think you should just listen to new Christian relationships. You understand how a child-parent relationship should look like. I basically just taught on parenting. Praise the Lord. What do you do if your parents insist you must marry from your tribe or hometown? Well, look out for somebody there who is good, but if there's not, just let them know. No, it's not a bad advice. I don't think it's wrong for your parents to just... It's just a proposition. But there's nobody. In a scenario where parents, the mother especially, have been nurturing her children on life like this since the day they are all girls to do and know what to do. The first child got into a relationship, got pregnant. What should they do? The guy is just 25 years. Let them get a pastor. If they are old enough to get pregnant, they should get married now. What were they planning before? However, I have an elder sister that has children outside wedlock. Though the children are twins. Oh, that's great. We are all treated her badly because my mom... Oh, you treated her badly. This case of your sister having twins now wants to marry a married man. Is she a Christian? If she is, get a pastor involved. But I don't want to believe that this is the whole story. Oftentimes, there's more to the story than what you are reading. You are speaking on 1 Corinthians 7, marriage as a gift, singleness as a gift. 10 questions. Go on, just get 10 questions. I preached it. The woman complains about being tired of the marriage, even to the hearing of the children. As a child, how do I help? Yeah, I don't get involved in my parents' one at all. I think it's their problem. Don't get involved because they will break the coconut on your head. Just stay away from it. That's usually what I did back then anyway. In a case where your parents are not being supportive financially and materially, should you honor them? Why are you asking this one here now? Eh? Well, that one, new creation and his relationships. Praise God. There's one more. Okay. Okay, how do you handle in-laws on both sides who are culturally inclined, but strongly want to make sure you and your would-be partner do cultural stuff? How do you politely turn them down? Well, I think for me, prior to marriage, do all you can and just comply. Just be wise. In the way you hunt for something. Do all you can. By the time you get your wife or your husband, let me somebody will come to my house and say, as you come and I say, did you drink something too early? So you can just comply. I can play a fool. I can go to Nikai. I can even go to Ifa Shrine. Then, Baba, is she? I have another question, I think.
When you spoke about postmarital relationship and parenting also, is there a role, if it's for a single mother, is there a role she ought to play in telling her children about if, for instance, she and her husband are to divorce and she has to remarry?
Well, she wasn't painting him in a bad light, even if he was a bad person. She was, you know, she wasn't, that's why I mentioned not using your own emotions, condemnation, to begin to raise the children. No. That's all. You just, don't put anybody in a bad light. Don't bring anybody down so that you look like a good parent. No.
Because I had an example of a relative. I think it made us view single mothers very bad.
It's an African thing. There's nothing. The truth about the matter is that both single mothers and married mothers, people behave the same way. Yes. It's the same way. It's just an over elaboration. You know, in Africa we're not realistic. Are there not very many terrible mothers who are in married? I mean, terrible mothers who should not be. In fact, you should take away the OHD and just put URDER.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Welcome.
Sir, you spoke about culture. We should try as much as possible to remove culture from our marriages.
From your home, yeah.
Yes. But, what am
I. That is where the culture conflicts with scripture.
Okay.
I added that.
But if people are actually born into societies that have culture, they most likely must have been raised in those cultures. And
they get married.
Yes, they get married, and in some scenarios, the culture of the other party might not be similar. I've seen situations where people get married, and there is a clash, not because there is.
We should have discussed it. Because Yoruba culture and Igbo culture is not the same. Even within Yoruba land, we have different ones. It should be discussed. That's the reason why I said it's important to agree on the culture of God's word. I think I mentioned that in 10 questions as well. You must agree. How are we going to run this? It's important. But do never allow culture determine your marriage, your home. Mm-mm. I'm not saying throw away culture. Where it conflicts with the word of God. Do you understand? Just like I mentioned the issue of submission, love, marriage. There are some things in our African culture is totally against scripture. It mustn't be practiced. Yeah. Just one or two more then now.
In a situation where a man leaves the house and then the lady is about to get married.
A man leaves?
Leaves his wife.
Okay.
And the lady is about to get married.
Okay.
Let's say he was jazzed. A non-believer, he was
jazzed. Explain jazz, because you don't know language. Juju?
Yes, and then...
Sorcery, witchcraft, voodoo. Because we can say jazz, reggae, you know. It's just going to be very clear, yeah.
And he comes back to meet the lady when she's about to get married. She hasn't gotten married. Should she accept him or she should just get married to the new person?
He comes back that he was jazzed, that's where he left.
No, like a misunderstanding.
Mm-mm. You understand, it's not jazz.
Okay, let me just.
There is a feeling he was just. He left her. He comes back and says, I am no longer just. I love you.
Yeah, something like that.
It left for her to determine what the just really was. It's still her choice. It's still your choice. Do you understand? I don't. It's your choice. Yes, somebody raise your hand here.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome.
I want to have sort of change of name for the lady side, like for the women when they get by, they change name. Is it cultural thing?
No. It's biblical, cultural. There's nothing. What about name? You have heard of the Book of Life? Is in Christ. I know people who got married and they change to their own wife's name. When you know that the wife's name is true. Let's face ourselves. If you marry Bill Gates' daughter and the man says change to my name, you're sure Bill Gates. It looks good. So SG. Ah! And the guy says, he'll give you 60% of Microsoft. Yes! Shovel Gates! It's a non-issue. The only name I want, my name is Jesus! Forget all those words, Harry. But that will work. Everyone else wants to run. Praise God. Have you had a great time? Okay, so finally just turn to your neighbor. Just share what you have learned, you know. Beautiful truth. And let's just pray together. Praise God. You know, when you talk with your neighbor, then pray together. Let's just take 5 minutes.